This is a replay of the Raleigh James Show, Tuesday night, October 29th on WGN Radio. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and as I was saying, if it's on your mind, it will be on mine. I've got a couple of starter thoughts, though, as usual, however, but when you want to join in, 888-876-5593. That's 8888-R-O-L-L-Y-E. All righty, then. Yes, banks behaving badly, or are they? I've said it 100, don't use debit cards, for God's sakes. Use credit cards. You've got a lot more protection. And along those same lines, do not transfer money from your bank account unless you know exactly where it's going and to whom, no matter what. You know, if you're transferring money from your bank account to pay your Visa bill, and you know the company that issued the deal or whatever, Citibank, for instance, yes, you can do that, usually very safely. And if you're maybe paying your water bill or your power bill, yeah, you can usually do that. But the idea of just opening your bank account online can be dangerous as hell. Now, you've heard of PayPal and companies like that. Have you heard of Zelle? Probably so, because it's been around since 2017. But the difference is that Zelle is owned by the banks. Well, seven of them anyway. And JP Morgan, Chase, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, things of that nature. And they're in it more as a service, so they say. But the interesting thing, actually, it's now six banks. I just looked. I don't know who dropped out of it. But anyhow, six banks. Now, the interesting part of this is that they, by the way, if you're saying, well, who are the other three? JP Morgan Chase, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, who else? Capital One, U.S. Bank, and Truist. Those are the six. And collectively, they own Zelle, Z-E-L-L-E, which is an interesting concept, as I say, not for profit, not publicly traded or anything like this, sort of an accommodation for people who have accounts as ways to, in fact, send money. Well, and sometimes ways to lose money. Customers have lost $320 million to scams on Zelle. $320 million. Now, of course, sender beware. I agree with that. But the problem is that apparently the banks have refused to define unauthorized transaction in terms of do you have a shot at getting your money back. And again, I don't like these things, period. And according to the Electronic Funds Transfer Act, the EFTA, once a customer authorizes a transfer, doesn't matter if you're scammed or not, businesses are typically not liable for the resulting losses. Well, unless certain conditions are met. And so there are now lawyers who are saying, wait a minute, you're not outlining the conditions. And banks routinely deny fraud claims based on this. But according to Consumer Reports, the banks in question and the bank-owned instant payment platform Zelle have no official public policy or explanation on the matter. Now, I don't know that they have to, but again, you have to beware. Do not, for any reason, send money unless you are 100% sure exactly where it is going, because the chances are you will not be made whole if it's a scam. A recent Senate report showed that JP Morgan Chase, Bank of America, and Wells Fargo collectively reimbursed people who reported Zelle scams 38% of the time last year. Yeah, think about what percentages who never had a chance of getting their money back. Now, what's more interesting than that is that in 2019, so we're talking 4 years prior, 62% of those scammed got their money back. So it's harder and harder. And those three banks collectively refused to reimburse the $320 million in unauthorized Zelle transactions that were reported as fraud between 2021 and 2023. And so apparently last year Zelle changed some of its reimbursement policy to include some types of imposter scams, such as when a scammer impersonates a bank to steal the cash. You know, so there are things that you will get your money back. But for the most part, the issue and why it was in the news is that there is absolutely no definition of what's an unauthorized transaction. In other words, when do you have a shot at getting your money back? But beware and be advised. Bottom line, again, I absolutely say don't use debit cards. But in addition, in terms of transferring money from your bank, unless you are 100% positive, and don't let it be a thing like you get an email saying that your Chase statement is now online. Click here to make a payment. Well, unless you know darn well that that's coming from Chase, and unless if you click on it, which I wouldn't, period, I'd just go to Chase on my own in that case, then chances are you'll avoid a problem if you know for sure you're dealing with Chase. But a lot of the URLs that scammers are using look extremely similar to actual URLs. So the bottom line is there's a lot of people who are figuring, oh, it's so convenient, it's so easy, and it's so unsafe. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, let's get on to something happy. Yes, tomorrow night we are opening a day early the official poll of the world's worst hit records. And the reason we're doing that is we're not going to be on the air on Halloween because the Blackhawks are on the West Coast and they're playing while I would otherwise be talking. So I won't be talking, but tomorrow night we'll open them. Now, you know the deal with the world's worst hit records. All it has to be is a hit, a national hit. Doesn't have to be number one or even number 10. It can be number 40. That's fine. And it can be any chart. And it can be any, you know, it can be Cashbox or Record World or Billboard. It can be any genre. It can be any decade. All it has to be is a hit and you hate it. And of course, it's a cumulative total. So we take take your votes and be sure to second and third ones that you absolutely hate. You can only vote once for any one song, but you can vote as many times as you want for multiple songs. So let's say you have 45 that you know you hate. You're eligible to vote on all 45. But you're not eligible to vote 45 times on any one of them. So you get the idea. And we compile them. And Carol, world's best show prep Ford, keeps me honest on this. Doesn't help by email because she doesn't see those. But on air. And I prefer you do it on air. Oh, we should mention there's no texting capability on 888-876-5593. So for God's sakes, don't text it. It's going nowhere. All right. Voice only. Next thing is for the most part, I don't check email while I'm on the air. So when we're talking about trivia or something like that, you can't answer the trivia questions by email. I won't see it. Not until long after the trivia show is over, if at all. So love hearing from you guys by email, but I can't always respond. I don't always see it. So when we're talking about something like this, your best bet is always to participate. And then the rest of us get to hear why you happen to hate a particular song. So that'll start tomorrow night and go through the night before Thanksgiving. Because Thanksgiving night, because it's a night of turkeys, we will play them back. And the top 10 by you. And I've got all the top 10s from the past, I don't know, 45 years or so around here. Most of them anyway. A few of the years I lost, but most of them I've got. And we can see how it differs. So, all right. All right, so 888-876-5593. Now, the next thing is, I don't know if Michael is listening. Michael, are you listening? I did some research today. I thought about it after I got off the air. Michael was calling and saying, what's going on? I'm hearing carrier current on 970, have for quite a while, but there's no station there. By carrier current, and he's going to call back too, so good. What he means is that when he's going across the dial and he gets to 970, it's absolutely silent. Yeah, it's just, which means that a transmitter's on but not transmitting audio. And so he's saying it's been going on for a while. What's the deal? And I thought about it and came to some immediate conclusions, and then I did a little more research too. So Michael has called back, and he'll be happy to know that we've solved his question. Let me get the magic twanger here, and welcome Michael from Florida back to WGN Radio. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how you doing?
All right, I did some research for you.
Okay.
Now, firstly, it occurred to me that there can't be in South Florida anything that is licensed to 970. Not possible. Not only because, of course, Tampa, WFLA, but as you know, you've got a 980 in Broward County. And
right.
You would never have, which right now is doing Haitian Creole, don't you know? You would never have, and that has an interesting history all the way around, but it originally was, of course, WLOD. But anyway, you wouldn't have an adjacent, you know, first channel adjacency like that, a 970, licensed anywhere nearby. So I looked at, you know, we know there's a 980. There's also a WHOO in Orlando's a 990, getting a little further away from it. But the bottom line is that it's surrounded, so it's not going to be licensed. So I took a look, because the first thing I thought is, well, what is, now it's WTPA now, of course, originally stood for Tampa, but they moved the call letters into that 980. I thought, well, what are they broadcasting on and all this? Well, it's not possible. It's got to be a pirate.
Maybe, yeah.
It's got to be. It can't be licensed. It just can't be.
Right.
Because I'm looking at this, you know, I pulled the license for 980, which, like I say, the call letters are now WTPA. It's running a three-tower directional separate pattern day and night. And but it's running 5 kilowatts in the day and you know, 2.5 kilowatts, so 2,500 watts at night. And so with directional antenna both day and night. So you look at this, and there's no way they're licensing a 970 right by it. So, no, this has got to be somebody who's not operating legally.
Yeah, it's interesting. By the way, did you know that, do you remember WOAH?
Oh, of course, Wonderful Whoa. Well, long before it was WOAH, of course, yeah. It was WMET, it was a lot of things. That was 1220 a.m. And they moved to 1210 during the conflict with Cuba.
They were making an announcement on World Radio for a while. They were thinking of moving to 1190, believe it or not.
Right, right.
But they decided not to.
Well, it ultimately went to 1210 when the guy who used to be the attorney for Stores owned it. What the heck was his name? It'll come to me. But anyhow, start with a D. In any event, yeah, when it was Wonderful Whoa, it was interesting because that was dynamic broadcasting. And that was a wonderful guy. Walk was his last name, out of Cleveland. I loved him. Anyway, so dynamic ultimately then turned it to Spanish, to WLTO. But when it was Wonderful Whoa, one of the people, they had jocks like George Day, listen today, tomorrow. And they had a guy in mornings who was well known forever in country music in Miami, Happy Harold.
Oh, well, that's right. Yeah.
Well, while he and Walk and a couple others, they got, believe it or not, this is the 60s, a cable franchise for Hialeah. And Womeco went crazy, you know, as you would expect. And so they started this campaign and, you know, basically at all the Womeco movie theaters, which was all over town, of course, they would have a cutout of Dad with his pockets outturned and the kids crying. And they're saying, don't let the pay TV monster encroach upon your home. And I'll tell you what, I think it set back cable in Miami for probably 20 years.
Right. One day, I was listening to George Day.
Yeah.
And right in the middle of the newscast, the train came running by.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, you could hear it on the air.
Of course you could, because the station was located at Northeast 71st Street.
That's right. Yeah,
I remember this building like it was yesterday. Oh, God. Oh. And, yeah.
Yeah, it had a big... I love the fan that used to go on Wonderful Whoa. You heard a fan in the background.
Oh, yeah. No, well, yeah, right. Absolutely. And, of course, George Day, that was an upgrade for him because before that he was at WGOS, the Wild Goose. And
what's George Day doing now?
Well, he's not alive.
Wow.
But, you know, he would be in his 90s now because I'm thinking back to his FCC license. His name was not George Day, but he was born in 1932, I think.
Right.
So I think that would make him like, what, 92, 94, but I'm almost positive. He was dating a nurse, and I don't remember what her real name was, but they named her Anne Christine, and they put out records by her. So, yeah. and then I think he and his son or something, I don't know where the son came from, but anyway, there was one that they were working in the record industry in Miami, because I remember interacting with him in Billboard about 1974, and then I never heard anything else. So I don't know.
WGOS was a good, they were a good station. I liked them with Rodeo Ronnie and I'll go Connie Laura. By the way, a friend of mine, I think, caught up last night. His name is Mark from Illinois. Uh-huh. I think I knew him.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, it was funny. Yeah. GOS was a soap opera. Alan B. Margolis owned it. And his father-in-law, Liebman, was the financer. But that's important to the story because Alan B. was having an affair with Cowgirl Connie. Well, Cowgirl Connie was actually a woman named Irene Rose. Ultimately, he divorced his wife and married Cowgirl Connie. And they were living in Colorado till he died, I think, of a heart attack. But I think his son still owns the station. But it was an interesting thing how that, of course, the AM, WMBM, how that came to be and at 1490 and where it was and all that. And WFEC was involved in that. And, of course, you know, the history going back to AHR. So it was very interesting history.
Oh, yeah. I remember TJ the DJ on WFEC. The station I really miss is Whammy.
Well, of course.
I missed them very much.
Well, you know, I missed them when they were top 40.
Me too.
Yeah, there was the PD was just wonderful. Frank Ward, I loved him. When he was at Sounderling, he was absolutely brilliant because, you know, they had a lot of soul stations like WOL and things like this. And he decided that the way to sound better was to run the kind of commercials that these stations were never going to get, you know, like Delta Airlines. And so he would run these for Coca-Cola, you know, when they had their jingles and all that. He would run these spots. Of course, they weren't getting paid for it, but it sounded a lot better than what obviously would have been running on the stations. And it was just brilliant. But he had come to Miami from Buffalo, and I think that was 1959. And that's how Joey Reynolds got to Miami, because he brought him down. And then Gary Stevens was going to University of Miami, and they gave him a job. And, you know, it's hilarious. But, yeah, of course, the problem with Whammy in Miami is, you know, competition. Of course, when they went on, really QAM was the ballgame, and you could say CKR secondarily. But before CKR went back to IOD, of course, WFUN popped up because they created that they created that 790 frequency, a horrible directional at night, you know, out of South Miami, but they did it. And so that's why Whammy differentiated and went soul. And they had some great guys, Fred Hanna and all sorts of people. So, yeah.
What is the name of your radio station in Miami, Arizona? I forgot.
Which one? Oh, you mean the one that plays oldies. That's the one you're interested in. Okay. What are my callers? KJAA. So you can go to KJAA.us and you'll hear it.
Have you thought about playing air checks of WQAM on there?
Well, you know, that's a question of can I legally do it? Who owns the PAMS jingles now? Things like that. So, you know, I've thought about dropping in old commercials and all that, but there's copyright issues. But the other thing is that, you know, that's kind of just a toy of mine, and there's only 24 hours in a day. And so by the time I actually got around to doing something on that station, I'll probably be dead first. Just no time. You know, but it's all sorts of things in my mind.
I always listen to Air Check Radio. I love that program. Oh, yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Air Check Radio.
Well,
they play all kinds of air checks.
The other thing, of course, is if you're going to do that, you really don't want to play scope checks. And if you've got scope checks, you're going to have to drop in the music and do it. I'll never have the time to do that. But it's a nice thought.
Okay, nice talking to you.
All right, good to talk to you. Now you know about 970. Now you'll find out who the pirate is.
Yeah, I'd love to.
All right, good deal. Thanks. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
All right, so that's the deal on that. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
I'd like to thank the guy who wrote the song that made my baby fall in love with me. Put the bomb in the bomb, bomb, bomb. Who put the rhyme in the ram-a-lam-a ding dong? Who put the bop in the bop, shabop, shabop? Who put the dip in the dip, di dip, di dip? Who was that man? I'd like to shake his hand. He made my baby fall in love with me. Yeah. When my Every word went right into her heart. And when she heard them singing, Ram-a-lam-a-lam-a-lam-a-lam-a-ding-dong, she said we'd never have to part. So who put the bop in the bop a bop a bop? Who put the rhyme in the ram-a-lam-a-ding-dong? Who put the bop in the bop shabop shabop? Who put the dip in the dip di dip di dip? Who was that man? I'd like to shake his hand. He made my baby fall in love with me. That we're alone, boogity 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 shoot, sets my baby's heart all aglow. And every time we dance to dip 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 dip, she always says she loves me so. So who put the bop in the bop a bop a bop? Who put the rhyme?
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Barry Mann. Yes, Who Put the Bomb? And that was co-written by Jerry Goffin. So a couple of Donnie Kirshner's songwriters together on that. And it was Cindy who requested that. 1961 on Ampar. ABC Paramount. Yes. And of course, Al Don Music, of course. Don Kirshner had to get in there somewhere. 888-876-5593. Bonnie and Butternut, what's up?
Hi, Raleigh. This is Bonnie in Butternut.
Yeah, how are you?
Good, thank you. A couple days back, a gentleman called, and he was up in northern Wisconsin in Eagle River.
Yeah, I'd say that's, yeah, what, about 60, 70 miles east of you?
Yeah, and I'm further north.
Yeah.
I'm closer to, I'm towards Lake Superior.
Right.
Well, anyway. Just a suggestion to him, there's a internet company that really has helped us all out in the small towns of northern Wisconsin called Astria.
Uh-huh.
They're very reasonable, and that is the only way that I'm able to get to any of my AM stations that I want to listen to.
Really?
And I just have to stream.
Oh,
plus,
man,
it gives me the advantage of using my cell phone through Wi-Fi calling.
Yeah, sure, so, absolutely. But of course, you know, you're usually not driving around listening to it, I would assume.
Well, that part is, yeah. I thought he was talking about being, you know,
yeah.
I thought he was stationary.
Yeah, and stationary, yeah, you can listen to the streams, but I think what he was looking for is, hey, on his radio when he's out and about, what can he tune in and actually hear in the day, which, of course, is different than at night, but you could be right. He may need an internet provider. I think Astria is like Iron Mountain-based or something, but so I don't know if they I don't know if they serve Eagle River. I know they got about 60, 70 communities up there, you know, in Michigan and Wisconsin, but I don't know. But yeah, that may be his, I hope it's not his only option, but it's a good thought if it is.
Well, it's just the way we survive up here, and there's so many, and Astria has been great for us in many ways because there are several people that actually work from home.
Oh, sure.
Right at,
sure.
Right along my road here.
Now,
and so it,
let me ask you,
yes,
is it synchronous? Are you getting the same speed up as down on your broadband?
Yes, we do. I can't really quote numbers,
okay,
because those things I don't understand completely. My husband,
yeah,
is more of the,
okay,
technician on that. But when I do just a speed test on my cell phone,
yep,
I'm getting very good.
And you're getting the same up and down. Interesting. I hope they are,
yeah,
synchronous. It's unusual. But I know Astria is sort of into the rural markets. And from what I understand, I've never had it myself, obviously, but from what I understand, not all the communities are created equal. Like, some are getting better speeds than others.
Well, it depends upon what you choose to.
Well, no. I mean, as far as just offer, what's available. You know, not necessarily what you pick, but what's available. Like, some cities, I think you can get a gigabit, but not all of them.
What did you say? I'm sorry. What did you say?
We get 300.
My husband just said he gets 300.
300 up and down megs? That's good.
Yes.
Yeah.
He said a little less on down,
on up. A little less on up. Nobody gets less on down.
Okay, well, whatever. I don't understand.
Yeah, but no, that's interesting. Yeah. That's good to know. I'm gonna look at them. But if they're really offering synchronous speeds, that's my hat is off to them. That's the way it should be, and it's working for you. And obviously, you're listening to all sorts of things, so that's great.
Well, I'm able to keep in contact with coming from the Chicago, listening to WGN my whole life, and I'm 80 years old, so it's like being at home.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We enjoy it.
Well, good. I'm so glad. And it's working. That's the best part of all. And, I hope he's listening, because if nothing else, that will do. But I'd love to see if he can get some stuff on an actual radio. But we'll see. Thanks.
Well, if he's not stationary, he's probably out trying to catch that muskie, over in Eagle River.
There you go. All right. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate
Bye-bye.
It. All right. So I think they're fixed wireless. I don't know if that's everywhere, but if that's the case, then you're really interested in what are your ping times. And well, anyway, I digress. 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh. Of course, if you listen to this show, you know all about radio. So clearly you know about the Sea Crane Company. Let me tell you right now, the CC Wi-Fi 3, 10% off. And that is, in fact, I believe it's a 10% off for spending more than $50 on anything, actually, which is really kind of nice. But if you don't have a Wi-Fi radio, there are many from which to choose, of course, but I think the CC Wi-Fi 3 is a wonderful choice. Why do I say that? Because right out of the box, I plunked it down on the table, and John, who isn't necessarily so attuned to what to do, turned it right on, got MyStream, got WGN. I thought, well, all right, this is terrific. So it's easy to use. Now, of course, thank God they didn't have Wi-Fi radio when I was growing up, or I never would have gotten out of the bedroom, because you can hear 30,000-40,000 radio stations from all over the world. Yeah, you don't sign up for an app. There's no microphone. There's no ads on the screen. No monthly fee. It's got a full-size remote control. And like all of the products that Bob Crane develops, it has superior reception. And you're saying, wait a minute, it's a Wi-Fi radio. What do you mean reception? Well, here's the deal. The way the Wi-Fi radio works, of course, is it has to connect to your wireless access point, whatever it is, maybe a Wi-Fi modem or it might be separate, whatever you got. But the bottom line is that some things connect better than other things. And with a CC Wi-Fi 3, it'll connect to even the most sluggish wireless access point. So it's just terrific. And it sounds good as well and easy to use. And right now, 10% off your entire purchase of $50 or more. And that's whether you get the CC Wi-Fi 3 or anything else. So go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com, and take a look around. Yeah, they got a ton of products that are really interesting, but not only that, they got great information about radio listening, reception, etc., and so forth. And normally I give you the phone number, and I will, 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. They've got wonderful customer service, best customer service, actually, pretty much anywhere. And the deal is, though, if you're looking for a Wi-Fi radio, you can probably go online and look at the catalog, and that's your best bet. So ccradio.com. You look at the CC Wi-Fi 3 Internet Radio, and I think you're going to fall in love with it. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
Shut your mouth.
Everybody says he's lazy,
but not when he's kissing me.
Everybody says he's crazy.
Sure he's crazy, crazy about me. Oh yeah.
Don't say nothing bad about my baby.
Oh no.
Don't say nothing bad about my baby.
I love him so.
Don't say nothing.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, another one of Cindy's requests. Great production on that. That's Jerry Goffin who produced it. And, of course, he and Carole King wrote it. Another Donnie Kirshner record on Dimension, 1963. The Cookies, Earl Jean on lead. And we've talked about the Earl Jean soap opera a few times now. All right, so Chad in Louisville, I'm so glad you called. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Yeah, I know it's been forever and a day.
Yeah, what have you been doing?
As little as possible. I'm retired. I'm not rich, but I'm retired.
How wonderful.
yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
But now things are going all right, which is good. It's been a busy summer with a lot of car repairs, but I got all that done because, you know, I drive an older car. I'm really not happy with the new cars, and I don't want a $700 a month car payment.
Oh, but believe me, I'm with you. I still have my 1995 Z28.
Yeah, I heard you talk about that the other night. Boy, the Skyway, I tell you what, last weekend, the Skyway was really good.
Interesting you mentioned that. Friday night, I had to be out. Shouldn't be driving at night, but I was. And it was about 10 at night. And I was driving for about 70 miles, and I couldn't believe it. For one thing, I heard WGN, which was, in Maricopa County, right, in Phoenix. That was a thrill. But I heard everybody, and it was just so wonderful. Now, the next night, Saturday night, not as good. But Friday night, man, there was something about that ionosphere layer that I couldn't believe what I was hearing.
You're right. It was Friday night. I was out on the patio with my old scene of Transoceanic. Transistor, but still, that's a good radio. I mean, I'm just dialing up and down, and I'm finding all kinds of stations. I'm like, wow, man, it's like the old days.
Yes. Yes, it was just wonderful. Speaking of stations, I should have mentioned this when Mike was calling. He was looking at that 970 that had some carrier current. I should have also mentioned that it's impossible because at 960, there's a North Palm Beach station that's also doing Haitian Creole, don't you know?
Wonderful.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I was going to kind of ask you about that because I know you worked at WIBC 70 in Indianapolis.
It's gone.
Now, we had WKLO 1080 in Louisville, so did WIBC point their signal a different direction at night? Like
both, but it was absolutely directional at night. And so when they talked about it being the Indiana Giant, not at night, it was highly directional. And in fact, well, that's why I had the job, because on directional stations, of course, you need a first-class engineer. And so, you know, here I was, female wants overnight first-class license. As I've said many times, I could have been speaking Farsi on the tape, and they would have hired me.
I love when you say that.
It's so true. And I did get George Johns, who sadly he died recently, but to admit before he died that he never even bothered to listen to the tape.
This lady's got all the qualifications, hire her.
Right, exactly. He said, I really didn't care what you were going to do. You were a female who wanted overnights with a first class license, and you were willing to work for fairly cheap. Fine, we didn't care. Well, I said, well, believe me, you got what you paid for. I was terrible.
You know, talking to you because you know so much about all this stuff. And I mean, there's not a lot of people left that know about all this. You know, it's like it's a dying part of history.
Well, I do know.
Especially younger people. I mean, well, younger people to begin with don't even really know what AM radio is. I mean,
well, you know, this is actually a crisis in broadcasting because most of the engineers today are really IT guys. You don't get too many true transmitter techs or true audio engineers in that sense. They can tweak what it sounds like, but I'm not talking about that. You know, so it is a problem all the way around.
Yeah.
But you know, I kick myself. I feel if I'm going to hell, I'm going to hell because I never finished those Mediatrix volumes because I had the time in the 80s and I didn't do it. I did 10 or 11 of them and that was it. And I should have done them, but it just, you know, it didn't occur to me that, hell, this is 1985. These guys are going to be dead in 20 years, let alone 40 or what have you. And so, a lot of that history is already gone. And
That's the sad thing. You know, I was born in 53, so I'm 71. I grew up listening to AM radio. That was my main
Well, that was it.
You know, that's where I heard music.
Well, let's face it, until you were in your teen years, FM wasn't viable. And this is something that it slays me that all these histories of FM doesn't take into consideration that prior to the mid-60s, FM was not viable. The signal drifted.
Right.
Period. And so you had a few things. Firstly, circular polarization, of course, but also the field effect transistor was huge. And these things made FM viable. So it wasn't just like some college kids in the middle of the night thought about this bandwidth. No, I mean, if it was 10 years earlier, well, you know, I mentioned many times Cincinnati Transit, when they had the buses doing transit radio on FM, the buses would turn the corner and the signal wouldn't.
I love it. Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, it was true.
The only thing that was on FM here in Louisville until about 67 or 68 was just like easy listening.
It was good music. It wasn't even easy listening. It was good music. And that's where you'd work for somebody who would insist, well, at least 2 seconds of downtime between each selection, please. You know, and so there's Montavani, you know, and hell, the other thing is Montavani you can pronounce, but, you know, even without being classical, some of these words, you just can't pronounce them. And that's the first time I just, without missing a beat, changed them all to Smith and Jones.
He's not like my ninth grade English teacher when he would read. We would discuss stories written in a foreign language.
Right.
He'd do that.
Right, exactly. Yes, that was a Jean Smith. And, exactly. So, but you're right.
Yep.
And I used to claim that format was music to listen to you on your overpriced Macintosh tube tuner. And that was about it.
I call it supermarket music.
Well, that was Muzak, of course, and that was a fine use of a subcarrier. But, and you know, speaking of that, isn't it embarrassing today that supermarket music is things like Steppenwolf? And you know, they think it's ancient, you know. And of course it is ancient, but you know what I mean? The things you hear on alleged Muzak now, you know, would make an elevator go sideways.
I tell you who plays the best music in their stores, in my opinion, is Meyer. They play some really good stuff.
What? Meyer?
You know. Meyer. They're out of Detroit, I think, Michigan.
Yeah.
But we have them here in the Louisville area, and they play pretty good darn music in there. I'm like, this is pretty good, man. You know.
Who is doing the
service? 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Who's doing the service? Do you know?
I do not, actually. I could ask a lady I know that works, and I might do that. That's a good question.
Yeah, and it may be in-house. I don't know. It could be in-house, but I'd be curious.
Possible.
If you like it, though, find out. You know, and there's weird little guys I shouldn't say weird little guys, but there's people who are small businessmen in various parts of America that just do that, like a service for, you know, a given business. And, you know, some of them are, you know, off the mark, but some of them are just terrific. You'll hear things you never hear anywhere else.
Exactly. I was just getting ready to say that. It's stuff you're not going to hear on regular
radio. That's it. So I'd be curious. So that's your assignment. Who's doing it?
Yeah, well, speaking of that, that's one of my requests. This is a song I've only ever heard on your program.
Uh-oh.
And I really like it. It's called Heading for the Poorhouse.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
Yes, I love that song.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no.
Your show's the only place I've ever heard it.
Really? Well, of course, it never charted or anything like that. But
most of the songs I like never did. So
this was the Silhouettes, and of course,
I thought it was the Silhouettes. Yeah,
so Philly record. So they had to have a theme, you know. After Get a Job, you know, it just fit.
Right.
So they had several things that were interesting.
I was going to say the Silhouettes, but I wasn't sure.
Oh, it is. It absolutely is.
Yeah.
So, I'll play it for you next. Absolutely. I'm happy to do that.
I appreciate it. And I've already got some songs wrote down for the World's Worst Hit Records.
Oh, before. I can't wait. And, of course, the flip side of Heading for the Poorhouse is you love this. Miss Thing.
Thing. Yeah. I never heard that one.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, the guy who was involved with him was Kay Williams, and he was a disc jockey on I think DAS at the time. So yeah, of course, Get a Job was huge. And
Right.
So of course, Heading for the Poorhouse was the follow up, and of course, went absolutely nowhere fast. So I will be happy to play for that. My pleasure.
Well, thank you very, very much. Yeah. And I know you're probably coming up to a break here. So I appreciate it. And I will give you a call tomorrow night with the beginning of my world's worst hit record.
I am counting on it. All right. Thanks. Appreciate
thanks, it. Raleigh.
All right. Okay. Bye. All right. So great to talk to Chad in Louisville. Yeah. Good memories. And we will play Heading for the Poorhouse right after the news. You know, they did continue to record stuff, and of course the first stuff, the hit Get a Job and then Heading for the Poorhouse, were on Ember, but later they were on Junior Records and had Rent Men, so maybe we'll get that on it sometime too. All right, so we'll talk to Jim in Richmond. He's got some updates, so that's how we'll start next hour. And as I say, tomorrow the polls open, the annual polls for the world's worst hit records. All we ask is that they be hits, any genre, any decade. Now, in addition to not being on Halloween, yeah, although I've got a Halloween request that I've got to play too tonight, Pirate Jenny. That was terrific. But in addition to that, we're also not on a week from today. That is next Tuesday, November 5th. And in case you don't know why, if a radio station's going to do election coverage, do you think they'd have me doing it? Of course not. So so there goes the credibility right down the tubes. No, probably David Jennings and others will handle election coverage. That's a week from today. So that's the deal. Then a week from tomorrow, I'll be on a little late after Black Hawks hockey. Now, of course, this weekend, life changes. Daylight savings time. So many things to talk about, and your call's coming up next hour right here on WGN Radio. And it was Laura in Willowbrook. She wanted to hear the Blues Brothers. We'll get there. But she missed me playing the original, Robert Johnson. That's right, on a Vocalion in 1937, A Sweet Home Chicago. Now, interestingly, a number of people have done this record, but only one guy charted with it. And he charted big time, too, on the R&B chart. So this was Little Junior Parker. So that's Little Junior Parker. And like I say, that was the only hit. Now, you know about the Blues Brothers, and we'll get there. And you might be thinking, well, maybe they were talking about Little Junior Parker's version, or maybe it was Robert Johnson. Well, actually, it was neither. The version that interested them was Magic Sam. And this was 1967, and this absolutely did not chart. But this is they kind of dedicated it to him on in the movie too. But Magic Sam was an interesting character, and here is his version. Real good reviews too, actually, and September 68, I think, although credited often with 67, but that's the version that the Blues Brothers kind of zeroed in on, and this was their version. All right, we'll leave that on the background while we talk about it, because it's over 6 minutes when the Blues Brothers do it now. As I was mentioning, Robert Johnson did it originally, and I talked about this when I played it the first time. He recorded it in the Gunter Hotel in San Antonio. Yes, it was a studio. And I know, hard to believe it, yes. But actually, while he's credited with writing Sweet Home Chicago, the melody is in a number of blues songs, whether it's Honey Dripper Blues or Red Cross Blues, or I think the immediate model for the song, what most people confuse it with, is Kokomo Blues. And so that was the deal. But the lyrics for Honey Dripper Blues had a similar structure. And, you know, there's historians who will argue for all of that. But there it was. And it was in 1936, November 36, right before Thanksgiving, that he went to the hotel in San Antonio and recorded it. And, of course, I don't know if there were charts. Well, there were, but I don't know that it did anything. But what happened after that is that it became a blues standard. And as I was saying, the first time it charted, and it was a big deal, in 1958, Junior Parker, and that's the first time it was more of an ensemble shuffle harmonica accompaniment and all that. And so Duke released it, and that was got number 13 on the R&B charts. And it's interesting, of course, Don Robey, who owned Duke Records, you know, come on. I say that when if there's ways to not compensate a songwriter, he found it. Not that he was alone, but what was really interesting is the credit was to Roosevelt Sykes. Well, no, Roosevelt Sykes had recorded it a year earlier, but they didn't write it, to say the least. But then 67 came Magic Sam, and that was on West Side Soul. And it got a lot of rave reviews, but it did nothing. But as I say, the Blues Brothers, in the movie in 1980, in the song's intro, Belushi's character announces, "Dedicated to the late, great Magic Sam." And so I guess that was their biggest influence in it. But clearly, he wasn't the first, or the second, or the third. On and on it goes. But that's the story. And Laura from Willowbrook wanted to hear it. Well, now you've heard it all. Laura.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's
I'm
your
sorry.
Turn.
It's not going to be already. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, thank you for that.
Sure.
I got to take you off speakerphone.
Yes.
And just some
that will help.
Okay.
All right.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know if they still do this, but before I tell you what the reason I really called, because I didn't know you were going to play that, thank you, the two Blues Brothers, I don't think they're both still living, but
no.
they appear at the one of the prisons that they used in the movie.
Okay.
And it's like a haunted house thing, and you could go and do that. It's like, I don't know if I want to do that. That'd be kind of creepy, but yeah, they do make an appearance at the closed prison. Obviously, it couldn't do that if it was open.
Well, I guess you could. I mean, Johnny Cash did, but yes.
That's true.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you wouldn't mind playing Gatlin Brothers, All the Gold in California.
I probably won't.
Okay. Right. Okay. Well, real quick, I went to see the concert yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And it was very good, but I didn't realize that, like, I kind of sometimes get groups mixed up, and I'm like, the Oak Ridge Boys, Gatlin Brothers, they're a similar sound.
Well, they're both country, but that's about it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm there, and I'm like, I'm so glad I went, but it's like, oh my gosh, the ticket prices, things nowadays. Oh my goodness.
I know. But that's just insane. You're absolutely right about that. But yes, when Monument was debuting Larry Gatlin, Monument was a custom label for Epic, and I was at Epic. I had to do the film and arrange for the cities and all that. So yeah, I heard enough Larry Gatlin to last a lifetime.
I totally get it.
Yeah.
Okay, then we'll just play anything of your choice, then. That'll make me happy.
Okay, good. Thanks for calling.
All right. Thanks, Raleigh.
All right. So 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. And Jim is in Richmond. So, Jim, how are you?
There's a lot of things going on. And first off, I love that last song. That's one of my favorites.
Good.
And if you can later play some Cab Calloway from that same movie.
Oh, I never saw the movie. I'll have to look at what the soundtrack has. I like Cab Calloway, though.
Okay. Yes. And I got some great news, some sad news, and some bad news.
All right, let's start with good.
The great news is on Wednesday, my second son had his second child, was a baby girl by cesarean.
Okay. And what'd they name her?
So now I haven't got that information through the grapevine because they don't talk to me.
Yeah.
And I have now two girls, two boys, and I only know about one boy.
All right. Well, so congratulations.
I'm over the moon. But,
yeah.
And number two is Friday, I had to take Bear to the vet.
Oh, no.
And he had a severe ear infection.
Okay.
He has allergies.
Okay.
He has a heart murmur.
Okay.
And so now I squirt with my limited vision, I squirt medication in his ears every day, and then next week it's every other day.
Okay.
And then he got a shot for his allergies.
Okay.
And I probably have to go back next month for another shot for his allergies.
Yeah.
And the kicker of the whole thing, it was $472.
Oh, I'm not surprised, unfortunately. Everything is just a fortune anymore.
Right.
Yeah. So now, what?
Right.
I forget, what breed was Bear?
He's a teddy bear.
Okay.
Bichon Frise and Yorkie.
Okay.
Mix.
Okay.
And they call it a teddy bear.
Okay.
And he was sitting here, and then he left.
All right.
And then the other thing is, my vision is worse than it's ever been.
Oh, God.
And I'm not happy.
No,
my brother found a picture of my mom and dad and sent it to me over text, and I had to tell him I can't see it.
Right.
So he says, I'm going to go out and find you a 15x magnifying glass. If that's the last thing I do.
Yeah.
So I thank that for him. And Kim has been texting me about meeting up to put things on my phone.
Right. Good.
With limited vision on my phone.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to work out.
Well, so you need to find, this is so important, Jim, especially as you start to see a decline in vision. You really need to find someone who can help you set it up because you're going to need to use these tools.
Right. And then I called my insurance company, Humana, and asked them what's up for next year.
Right.
And they told me that I was over the moon. They told me that I am eligible for meals.
Great.
That I don't have to pay for.
Great.
and I was excited because then I could get meals.
Yeah.
What do they call it? Meals on Wheels.
Right. Absolutely.
And I was
excited.
Good. They said if I was hospitalized and came home, they would pay for the meals that were sent to the house.
Good.
So that was great. But what I didn't understand is they said they changed. I don't get over-the-counter stuff anymore. I used to get $50, but they said that's been canceled.
Okay.
But they said something about $2,000. Now, I didn't understand what she was saying. Is that $2,000 out of pocket or $2,000 that they pay out?
Well, all these plans are different. Let me ask you, is this a Medicare Advantage plan?
Yes.
Okay.
It's Humana Pro.
Humana Pro Medicare Advantage, okay.
Right. Then after the $2,000, I don't have to pay any co-payments for any of my medical or prescriptions.
Now, does this include over-the-counter?
Over-the-counter is gone.
Okay.
You know,
all right. Right. They did away with the donut hole. And so people who were worried that they were going to hit that horrible part where they were going to be out a lot of money, they did away with the donut hole for next year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good.
But is the $2,000 meaning out of pocket? Is that for prescriptions or for total medical?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to see the plan.
Right, and I can't see the plan.
Right.
They sent me a packet where you can look up your plan and read it, but I can't read it.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So I didn't know if that $2,000 was, you know, because it used to be if I spent back before they paid $35 for my insulin, it was after I paid out $1,000, then Nova would send me my insulin for free after I paid out $1,000.
Right.
So I don't know if this is paying out $1,000 or total medical.
No,
because of all the doctor visits and everything.
I think the deal is that Part D, this is just for prescription, has a cap, a $2,000 cap on out-of-pocket costs. So once you have paid your portion of $2,000, then there is no other copay you would get at all. Now they would continue to pay for the drugs and you'd have a copay like you always did, but there's no more donut holes. So once you have paid $2,000 on out of pocket costs, you know, your copays, you don't ever have to pay anything else for the year.
Right. But so the most I've ever paid out of pocket would be like $1,100.
Right. So I don't think I can hit
$2,000.
Exactly.
Mark,
exactly. You know? And that's good news because you don't want to if you can help it, obviously. But I think that's what she's talking about, because for many people who had horrendous drug prices, for various ailments, this is a godsend because before they would hit that donut hole and get nothing. Well, now, after a $2,000 cap on out of pocket expenses, 100% is covered. So
that part
is good.
That's what they were telling me, and then there were some other changes, and I thought this was the great that I could get the meals for free, and
let me ask you this.
I wanted.
I think apart from insurance, I wouldn't be surprised that you don't qualify for Meals on Wheels. Period. You know, just through the Meals on Wheels program.
Right, but that's what my friend. Who yelled at me and said, "Why didn't you look into that?" I says, "Well, I don't know if I qualify for it now.
Well,
but I know in 2025, they're going to pay for it."
Right, but that I think what they're talking about is that's if you've had an event where you've been hospitalized and you're now at home. But what I'm saying is that I believe that Meals on Wheels, without whether you're healthy or sick or whatever, that you might qualify. And I know there's an aging and disability resource center in central Wisconsin. I don't know that it covers where you are, but you may...
It's in Elkhorn.
Okay. Well, then...
Right, and I've talked to them numerous times.
Well,
I will call them and ask them.
Yeah, and ask if you qualify for Meals on Wheels. Absolutely.
And then, off the subject, I wanted to talk to you about something that no one has talked to you about that 1,000-foot tower that was hit by a helicopter. You haven't talked about that. What, well, you know, do you know anything about that?
Yeah, well, there's nothing to say yet. Obviously, you know the story. The tower had been owned by Univision, and then in September, SBA had bought it. And this was a tower that was grandfathered in. It had been there for years. And there's a lot of questions, because supposedly a NOTAM had been filed, which would warn the pilot if there's something in the way. Also, supposedly, the top light of that tower was functioning. So there's going to be a lot of investigation into this, and I don't think anybody has come out with anything definitive yet. Hang on a minute.
Right.
Don't go away. Stay where you are. Stay right where you are. I'll tell you the latest, and right now I'll find out about the news and more coming up on WGN Radio. And I recorded that, too. I'm hearing absolutely nothing. Well, there it is. It was a quiet start.
When Sly calls, the prophet speaks. When Sly calls, the secret leaks. The sky falls, the dice are tossed. The war is won, the battle's lost. When Sly calls, it's 13 takes. When Sly calls, the summer breaks. The sky falls, the rain begins, and on the box some Leon spins to insulate me from the icy aftershock I feel each time that Sly calls.
When Sly Calls, Michael Franks, 1983 on Warner Brothers. When Sly Calls, Don't Touch That Phone. And it was Fran in Austin who wanted to hear that. Eduardo wanted another Michael Franks song, which we'll hopefully get to, from the Sleeping Gypsy album, which is an interesting album all the way around. Maybe we'll talk about that. But we were talking with Jim in Richmond about the helicopter crash. And like I say, this is complicated. I can tell you what we know. Firstly, this was a fairly close-in-town site, and the site goes back a number of years. I think it was probably Dave Morris when he had K-News and KQUE. He moved it there, so maybe 61, I don't know. But anyway, it's the second ward, and I believe the street it's on is North Ennis. Now, what I will tell you, this tower will never be rebuilt there. That's my prediction. Now, you might say, why is that? Because it is a Superfund site. It's a toxic waste site. Not to mention that it is in the middle of population. So the location, as far as that goes, the top light was working. You know, there's going to be a lot of questions about this. But if SBA did have an active NOTAM, then they're in the clear.
And did you know that the FAA 4 days before the crash told them they had to add more lights?
Well, yeah, but you see, they're operating under no town. They would have had to do that. No, absolutely, because the middle lights and all that were inoperable. But you see, you can say you got to do this, but while you're doing it, it doesn't happen overnight. You file a NOTAM. Do you know about NOTAMs? Do you know how this works?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, I'll tell you because
heard about it.
I've had to file a lot of NOTAMs in my life. And so here is the deal. Like one day I look outside and I see one of my towers is missing any lights that it's supposed to have. I don't care where it is. God forbid all of them. And that's happened too. Now, before I call anybody else, I call the FAA. I've got a phone number and I say, I need to file a NOTAM. And it's notice to airmen. In other words, any pilot who is taking off has to take a look at, are there any notice to airmen filed on their flight plan? Because they're responsible for knowing this. And so, therefore, my tower could be completely dark, but if I filed the NOTAM properly, then I'm cleared. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes.
So what SBA is saying that they did file a NOTAM when they bought it. They bought it in early September. So my history with NOTAMs is you had to renew them every 30 days. So I don't know what the deal is on the renewals. But it's very easy to file. I've always had a fine time talking to these people, and I'm sure that SBA did the right thing. So the question is, Here's a helicopter that's taken off. Some people had thought originally it was taking off from Hobby, and it wasn't. I could see why they think that, but it was taking off from a little private airport, a GA airport, Ellington. And so they're cleared for 600 feet. Well, this tower's 1,000 feet. Not only that, it's guy-wired. It's not a self-supporting tower, and guy wires are very hard to see at night. So, you know, lights help tremendously. But if there was a proper NOTAM, it is not the fault of the tower owner.
Did it knock out any radio station?
No. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, here's the interesting thing. Like I say, this was originally Dave Morris, and so he had, at the time, was K-News, 1230. Well, 1230, most recently, had been operating it as KCOH, and they made a deal to be back on the air at 1380 temporarily, but there were three FMs on that tower, two Univision stations and a third, and so those three FMs had to quickly relocate. But sure, It took it to the ground. As I say, I think the most damning thing when people have said, well, can they rebuild because it's in the middle of homes and all that? That's not the problem. The problem is the Superfund status on the site.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
I have other news I forgot to tell you.
Yeah.
I got a letter in the mail today from Good Days, and they're the ones that pay the 20% that Humana doesn't pay for my shots in my eye,
right,
for the Aaliyah and all the other shots. And I struggled all day today trying to punch the numbers in my phone.
Yeah.
But I was able to get through, and now I am approved for January and 2025.
Well, congratulations. That's good news.
That was the other good news.
That is
today.
Very good news.
I forgot to tell you that.
No, that's excellent.
And then, if you could find that Cab Calloway song,
yeah,
I'll have to go.
Like I say, I'll have to research the soundtrack because I don't know. You know, I never saw the movie, but I'll see what I can find. Now, what's the other one? What else?
Darling by the Beach Boys.
Oh God. Okay.
Forget it.
The Beach Boys. I'd rather hear the real harmony from the Four Freshmen, but I don't think I want to hear that either. All right, I may do Darling, but let me look for this Cab Calloway, because like I say, I've never seen the movie, but I'll look for the soundtrack and see what's on it.
Okay, I thank you, and hope everyone has a wonderful evening. And thank you, Kim, but there's nothing I can do right now.
Yeah, but you want to do it soon. Like I say, don't put this off, Jim. You got to get this.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, appreciate it. All right, because the key to Jim's happiness is going to be becoming self-sufficient, and that means setting up devices that will be able to read things for him and all that kind of stuff. And it exists. So 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH. I think I was supposed to play Heading for the Poorhouse. Did I do that? I don't even remember if I did that. Well, I will again if I didn't. All right, so yes, it's come to that. All right, so with that in mind, heading for the poorhouse, either you're going to hear it for the first time or again tonight, and I will also look for Cab Calloway and your calls if you'd like to call 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Yep, 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 yep. Silver, we spend it in town, cause all of my money hasn't really turned brown. Cause we're
reeling for the poorhouse, baby.
It's a strange,
just as strange as it may sound.
But we're heading for the poorhouse, cause all of my money turned brown.
Yip, 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 yip.
Well, I remember, baby, long time ago, had so much money, it was laying on the floor. We had a pony, a car, and wasn't way up on top. But things has changed, we really got to stop. Because
we're in for the poorhouse, baby.
It's strange,
just strange as it may sound.
We're in for the poorhouse, but all my money turned bright.
Yip, 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 yip,
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, indeed, The Silhouettes, 1958 on Ember, and a fine song. We'll do Rentman some night, too, I promise. All right, so I looked up the soundtrack, and well, it's going to be easy to play, obviously, because it was one of the big Cab Calloway hits. It was on Bell. You know, that label was originally owned by Benny Bell, the guy who did shaving cream. He sold it in 52 to, I think it was Arthur Shimkin. And anyway, Arthur Shimkin liked comedy, and so they put Cab Calloway on it. And, of course, Minnie the Moocher was a big hit. And I think Donna and Oak Lawn knew that that was it. All right, Donna, so we found it.
Yeah, it was Minnie the Moocher.
Big hit.
And one of the other things that you were doing a lot of the Blues Brothers, the guitar was underlying combination between the Slim and Blue Brothers versions. The guitar was the common element.
Hmm. Okay.
Yes. The other thing for Jim is all the Humana plans are different.
Of course.
Having called Humana people because we all got new books starting in January of 2025. And that $2,000, I don't think it's covering his drugs because Humana Advantage plans have the drugs included in their maximum dollar amount.
Mm-hmm.
So that it could be for durable pieces of equipment, for hospitalizations, for physical therapy, for other kinds of therapies. All that stuff is lumped in with that dollar amount.
Yeah, it absolutely could be, but I don't know this for a fact, but the big news for many people this year is that the donut hole goes away. And so,
that's for people who have typical Medicare.
Oh, yeah, no, I know, believe me.
Drugs are under the D plan,
right.
But if you're C, which is Advantage,
right.
Advantage doesn't, you don't have
right.
D with Advantage plans. It's all inclusive in the C plans. We don't have donuts.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Life is different.
it's all a matter of choices. If you're willing to give up what you have to give up to do an Advantage plan, then it's a great cost savings. On the other hand, if there are things you really want in terms of absolute choice, you don't get it with Advantage plans.
Well, you go out of network.
Well, I understand that, but that's going to cost you differently. No, there's many things. And then, for people who can afford the freight, I always think Plan G of Medigap is the best way to go. But, whatever works for the individual is great. And, as you probably know, it's dramatically different state to state.
Yes, it is.
And that's the big thing. So there are plans that maybe if you were in New York, I'd say, this is a great plan in New York. Well, I wouldn't advise it in Illinois, you know, that kind of thing. So it is it is state to state. But
a friend of mine works with birthing people in around Asheville. And it's surprising how if you're a docent and you work with midwifery in Asheville, coming from Rockford, where Illinois laws were entirely different, and payment and, well, all sorts of things are a lot of different in different states of the Union, as you pointed out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do have a lovely evening, Raleigh, and take care.
Always good to hear from you. Thanks, Donna.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH. Karen in Chicago, welcome back to WGN.
Hi, Raleigh. You know what, I remember, was it last week, there was someone on talking about reading books about the mamas and the papas. I found a really good one, and I can't remember the author, but the name of the book is All the Leaves Are Brown.
Oh, God.
Well, it tells the story of the group. And, you know, I never knew that they were living in such chaos.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's...
Oh, my goodness. They just were quarreling and fighting with each other.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah. No, it's it's a drug-induced story. Clearly not my favorite group and not my favorite music, let's just say that. But you can hear all sorts of drug tales.
Yeah, and another thing I wanted to mention to Jim, I'm wondering if, does he realize that when Kim helps him with this, he's not going to have to worry about seeing it. It's going to read to
no,
him
I know.
And
I
tell
know.
Him what to do.
I know, yeah, and we're gonna have to stay on, Jim, because I can see, I understand that he's somewhat resistant to this, and it's going to be the difference between his happiness and his misery, and he absolutely needs to do this. And
you know, I'm a little concerned about it. I know I'm having trouble now. Verizon wanted to give me a free iPhone. Well, I want to tell you, they gave me one all right, but I could not figure out how to use it, and I had a friend come over, and she couldn't figure it out either. It was one of the newer ones,
mm-hmm.
And it's complicated.
Well, it is, but Apple is pretty good about that. Apple, you can contact directly through their accessibility, and they walk you through it.
But you know what? My preference is the one that still has the home button, the little round home button on the bottom.
Right. Well, and there are iPhones that do, you know, as far as that goes. You can absolutely make that
choice.
I know
the SE2 has the, you can't get the 6s and the 8s anymore. I had an 8 and I loved it. But I believe the SE2s, and I don't know about SE3.
Yeah, but, I think all those second generation, but I don't.
Do they?
I think they
do. Yeah, I know. My preference is the home button. I learned with that, of course. What you learn with, you know, you always prefer.
Well, I tend to agree with you. I'd rather something be tactile. I like that. I absolutely do. But third generation, yeah, that's still, I just looked it up, actually, and that still does have a home button.
Oh, okay. I saw one without one, and I just literally could not figure it out.
But they've got them. well, here's what happened. Apple relaunched the home button on the SE3. Because you're not alone in complaining. And so I think the current SE3 has a home button.
That was the talk of our Lighthouse program. You know, all the students were coming up and saying, hey, you know what? They're talking about the new phone without the home. I don't want anything without. Of course, we all learned with that.
The third generation has a home button. And it's,
that's cool.
I'm looking at it right now, and it's big as like home button and touch ID. So, yes, it absolutely is a home button.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right. You've just ended the hour. Talk to you soon. Thank you. All right.
Keep
so on
the
that
good
note,
work. Thank you.
We will pick it up right there next hour on WGN Radio.
Folks, now here's a story about Minnie the Moocher. She was a red-hot hoochie-coocher. She was the roughest, toughest rail. But Minnie had a heart as big as a hay whale. Howdy, howdy, ho.
Howdy, howdy, ho.
Heidi, heidi, heidi.
Heidi,
heidi, heidi. Heidi, heidi,
heidi. Heidi, heidi, heidi.
Howdy, howdy, ho.
Howdy, howdy, ho.
Now she messed around with a bloke named Smokey. She loved him though he was cokey. He took her down to Chinatown. He showed her how to kick the gong around.
Showed her how to kick the gong around.
Howdy, ho.
Howdy, ho.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So there it is. That's from the Blues Brothers movie. Well, more recently anyway. Minnie the Moocher, kind of a signature song for Cab Calloway. Originally 1931 on Brunswick and then reissued 1954 on Bell. Same song, same guy, same everything. All right, so a couple things that I didn't get to last hour that I will this hour, including more ways for you to lose your money. And yes, advice on how not to get E. coli. I looked at this though, and no. Basically, if it's prepared, don't eat it. No, I'm sorry. I do not want to have to wash everything, but we'll get to that. Gary in Austin, welcome to WGN Radio.
Well, hey, Raleigh. Good to hear Chad.
Yes.
We were an hour or so back. And we were just talking about him because there were some callers. We were wondering about, you know, where they'd been, like Marianne, and Chad was up there at the top of the list. So, you know, that's cool that he called. But, talking about iPhones with home buttons, a lot of people have made the switch to iPhones without home buttons, and they say they don't miss them.
Oh, man, I don't know. I insist on a home button.
And I've talked to people who have upgraded to, you know, 12s, 13s, 14s, 15s, whatever, 16s, and they once you learn it, you know, you don't want to go back to it, so...
Well, you know, it's interesting, though. Enough people must have bitched that they on the third generation, they brought back the home button. So, it's a personal choice, you know, when it comes down to it. And you're right. Anything you're used to, whatever it is, it can be the most arcane thing going. But if you know every step to it, it's just fine.
And we're thinking about upgrading phones. These are getting a little long. We have SE3s. But they're developing some other issues and such, so we're thinking about upgrading them. But there's also, for Jim, I think just about every state has, I believe it's called Older Individuals Who Are Blind program.
They could come up with a better name than that.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true, but that's what it's called. A lot of it has to do with what they do, I think, is...
I'm looking at that.
People who are adjusting.
By the way, I'm looking at that, and you're right in Texas. Older Individuals Who Are Blind program. Leave it to Texas. In Arizona, it's Independent Living Older Blind, ILOB. Not sure which is worse, but I guess every state names them on their own. But yes, maybe Texas is going in the right direction. Everybody understands what it is. Older Individuals Who Are Blind program. All right. Love it.
And I just kind of cursorily looked at it. I have not delved into it, but I think they do a lot of stuff for newly blinded people, so they might be able to help him out in whatever the Wisconsin version of that might be.
Right. I'll look that up, see what catchy name they gave.
Yeah. It's probably going to have old and blind in there.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'll try this. Let's see what we come up with. Line program. Why can't I spell? Actually, what I can't do is type. That's the problem.
Oh,
all right. So here we go. Let's see. Oh, we've already given him the phone numbers. That's OBVI.
Yes.
No, he's all caught up with them if he's actually called them and stuff. So, yes, that's the deal.
Okay, well, I hope he has, and I wish that he would contact Kim and have her hook up voiceover for him. I mean,
I agree. No, to me, on the to-do list, there's nothing ahead of it. You know, I think, and I understand mean, that, you know, he's going to be a little resistant, but this is going to be the key to whether he, you know, goes on successfully and happily or is continually frustrated.
You know, I think you can try to get your side back and learn newer ways of doing things. You can do two things.
That's
right. You don't have to just lop it all into one thing.
Agreed.
And about the tower, what I've read about it was that I think the NOTAM was pretty current because I'm on an email list,
right.
And somebody said they'd read it recently.
Right. Well, they filed it originally, I know, when they bought it, because what a company like an SBA, a tower aggregator, is going to do when they buy towers in a group, which is what they did, the first thing they're going to do is file NOTAMs on all of them because they don't know what's going on, you know, until they can get to each one of them. So I know they filed one like around September 3rd, whether that was still current or they renewed it, but I really don't believe they would have fooled around. I think, you know that site, and it's, like I say, it's Dave Morris's KNews site.
Yeah,
and of course,
KQ site.
Well, right. And the reason, of course, KQ was they were grandfathered into those 280,000 watts in 1961, and so that's why he rejected Senior Road and all that stuff. You know, he wasn't moving.
When they lowered the power from 280 to 100K, did they lose any coverage?
No.
Or not?
No. Well,
I didn't think they would.
I absolutely do not think so, and that was in conjunction with moving to another site, too.
And so. Because I know there's somebody in Memphis, I think, has 400-something thousand watts, I think.
That's interesting. That may be the last one. There were several, Wood in Grand Rapids used to have a lot. WYOR in Miami used to have a 250,000. You know, there were a lot of grandfathered, but of course, you do anything, you move an inch, you're out. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. But that's an. I wonder if I can Google that. What is the highest powered FM station in America? I don't know.
I think it was whatever WMC it was.
Okay.
99.7, I think
right.
It was. Or 99.9, whatever that.
Yeah, and Memphis, is relatively flat. So, that's interesting. Grand Rapids, and, I mentioned Wood FM, they used to be good, but WBCT has 320,000 watts.
Wow.
Yeah, now what I want to know, because, of course, watts don't tell me anything if I don't know heights. And so,
right, yeah, height is everything.
Right,
so.
Absolutely. You know, you're at 5,800 feet. You can have 100 watts, and you're doing pretty damn well.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Let's see. Santa Barbara has 105,000, not a lot more, but 103.3. KFPK in LA. Well, see, that's a typical theory. Okay, KFPK, obviously non-commercial, 90.7. They got 112,000 watts, but it's at a whopping 863 feet. Who the hell cares?
Right.
But let's look for biggest I can get here. I hope I have a list Well, here's greatest heights. That's nice. Well, tell me authorized ERPs. Ah, well. In 1950, which of course is a lot different now, but in 1950, JEFFM in Grand Rapids at 93.7 had a CP for 550,000 watts.
Wow.
And KXEL in Waterloo, 540,000. Fort Smith, Arkansas had one on 107.7 with 497,000. TCN in Minneapolis at 97.1, that had 400,000 watts. GST-FM in Atlanta, 345,000. So WKAT-FM in Miami Beach, 324,000. And they mostly used in that they used their subcarrier to be the Muzak station of the area.
Yeah.
But TMJ in Milwaukee, 322,000. But of course, this is not relative for today. to say the least.
So yeah.
We want to, you know, because in 1950, come on, you can count the number of FM stations in each market on one hand. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure that...
have a few fingers left over.
Yes, exactly. That was pretty sure that was Wood FM in Grand Rapids that had that Mongo power. But in 2024. Let's see if we'll get that. No, I don't want to know what the top biller is. I tell you what, I'll have to keep looking. But yeah, I always thought Wood FM was way up there in terms of that. But yeah, all right, I'll keep looking and see who still has power. The Memphis station, MCFM, didn't come up, so I wonder.
Huh. I thought I'd heard years ago that they were 400 and something thousand watts. Of course, that's, old.
Yeah, let's see. I don't know. So that was that 99.7, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's something like WLPF or something. It's something completely else.
Yeah, I know.
Audacity owns it now. But yeah, they were MCFM for till last year, I guess. They changed that.
Yeah.
And, okay. ERP, 300,000 watts horizontal, 100,000 watts vertical. But in 909 feet, not that that's anything to sneeze about in a flat area like Memphis, but, you know, it still ain't 5,800 feet. You know?
No. So, yeah. I think most everybody here, a lot of the Class Cs here, I think are like 1,000 feet, I think, more
yeah,
or less.
Yeah, right. Well, sure, because, you know, not many people are going to build a 2,000-foot tower. North Dakota has a couple, actually. But and their guide too. Well, of course their guide. They're not going to be self-supporting, but even guide, it's like scary as hell, you know. And of course, like everything else, they're a conglomerate. Yeah, they got a TV station or two, and you know, FM radio and everything else. But yeah. That's the deal. So how about that? So MCFM at least horizontal still running that 300,000 watts.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
But it
doesn't matter. I think that I'm looking at their history now. I went to find out what is their history, and they were launched as WMCF. Gee, how clever, in 1947. first FM station in Memphis and second in the state of Tennessee. Well, you know, WSM-FM is going to be the first. From its establishment, they had an output of 515,000 watts. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it wasn't circularly polarized back then. But this would be adjusted multiple times before setting at the current power of 300,000. All right. So... that's it. And they added a TV station in 1948 to it. How nice. That's a deal. I'm all excited. Yeah, so I think Scripps Howard had it for a while, and Raycom had it for a while. You know, owner du jour.
Yeah, so, right. Yeah. I don't even know. I think WMC AM was 790,
yes,
I think, but
absolutely.
I don't really remember what format they were.
Country. They were absolutely country. Now, when did they go country? Because they were certainly country when I was promoting country records over 50 years ago, but I think originally George Klein, long before he went to HBQ, was on there doing like Elvis tributes and stuff early
right.
on. So it was probably, you know, a smorgasbord. Originally Memphis Commercial Appeal, so, you know, cross ownership. That's what the MC
right.
stands for. So let's see what they did then. We don't care about the television. Oh, in 1960, they were MOR. I'm sure that was very exciting. And in 1973, yeah, that's when I went there. The first 24-hour full-time country music station in Memphis. So that was the deal. So MOR until then, of some sort. Yes. And then what else do we know about them? Well, let's see. They went News Talk in 1989. Gee, what a shock. So
yeah. Who didn't?
Yeah, well, exactly. So, and then they also later were, you know, Jones Radio Network Classic Hit Country or whatever, you know. So that. You know. Oh, I guess December 2021, it changed its affiliation and became the Bet $790. So that's more about Audacity going on the all betting all the time. Well, since they are, I guess they figure the listener should be too. So that's the deal. Yeah.
You know, I can bet that I won't be listening to them. But
yeah,
that's just me.
I can too. Yeah, you and me both. Although the other night, like when I was talking with Chad about how good, how absolutely good DXing was, I came across a couple stations from the middle of nowhere, miles and miles away, that were all sports betting all the time. And you know, when they're 1,000 miles away, they're kind of interesting, you know. And I was thinking while I was listening, well, if I was in the same market, I wouldn't give this 2 minutes. But, you know, there I was, you know, just glued to the dial. Yeah, so that's it. That's what they're doing.
I would hate to be in the Bay Area and tune my dial across KGO and to think what, you know, that radio crime of just killing
that station. Painful. Painful. Absolutely painful. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. But, you know, sadly, it's so true. I realized I was talking about those Wi-Fi radios. You know, if they had those in 1958, I never, ever would have left home. It would never have happened. But, that's right. Not even out of the room. But now, my God, what do you want to hear? You know, and so that's why I thank God for things like WGN, because at least they're live, they're local, they're actually, well, you know, I'm on it. I don't know if that's good wisdom or not, but they have some good programming.
Well, I do. You know, I listen to them during the day from time to time. I'll, you know, tune in for a segment or two, and, you know, I enjoy hearing them. I think they do a good job, and it's not, they're not beating you over the head with politics and all that. So.
Right, and they're the only talk station on the weekend I can listen to that's not brokered.
Yeah.
You know, that's really the deal. All these other stations, you know, you listen and it's the colon cleanse hour or the real estate hour or whatever. But, you know, sadly, that's Saturday and Sunday. I don't know any other news talk stations that don't broker them, but GN doesn't.
No, I don't either.
Yeah.
And I know I live in the capital of broker talk.
Yes, you do. So. Yes, you do. But, yes, I heard a lot.
I don't even bother with that station,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
They have nothing. They have no news. They have nothing. So, you know, I can get everything I need on my phone. That's sad.
Well,
that's just
I know.
Sad.
It's very sad.
I love radio.
It also makes the argument for AM and FM on the dashboard of cars harder and harder when people are saying I'm getting my information on the phone. So
I mean, a few years ago, when you had this big winter storm, everybody got knocked off the air. So I had to, gets the stuff I need to know from my phone.
Right. So, well, and I've mentioned this before, too, that, you know, sometimes you'll be somewhere and there's an interstate situation and you're stuck in traffic and nothing's moved for 45 minutes. Now, you've scanned your AM, you've scanned your FM, you've listened to everything, including all the non-coms, and you're not hearing about your traffic tie-up. So you go to whatever state you're in, their DOT, and sure enough, they're on your phone. It says, accident at mile marker 314, you know, and all that.
Used to
be the radio stations would break in, you know, when news breaks out, we break in. You know,
when news breaks, we fix it, you know.
Yeah, well, now it's, you know, when it's news to you, it's news to us. I mean, that's what it is now.
It's news to you before it's news
to us. That's right. Totally news to us. We don't know. Yeah.
What?
That's exactly
right. We only
got
one person working here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's one more than a lot of these places.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when the Clear Channel, I guess they were still Clear Channel then, maybe they were iHeart, I don't know, but they built that new facility in Salt Lake City, just beautiful. It must have had like 6 radio stations in it. Burned to the ground because the last person out was a sales girl who left a candle on her desk.
Oh.
There was nobody to notice the station was burning until nothing was on the air. Yeah.
Yeah, so. That's
Yeah,
not good at all.
Yeah, but you know what was interesting, and I'll leave you on this. But Asheville wound up with some of the best coverage ever because, for instance, at a couple of the stations, the crew came in to be there for the hurricane, and then they got locked in for over a week. They couldn't leave.
Yeah,
and so that made it really good radio.
Yeah, I've read about that it was really good radio. I didn't hear any of it, and I should have. I should have listened.
But, you know, maybe that's the key. We got to lock them in. So.
Lock them in. Yeah, throw away the key.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know. All right, great to talk to you. Thanks.
Okay, good.
Appreciate
thanks.
It. All right, so 888-876-5593. We'll pick it up with Eduardo and his request, too. Yes, he had a Michael Franks request as well, coming up next on WGN Radio. Thank you.
takes a day to walk a mile. Time just stands still. And when the people you meet look at you, they smile. They still believe in style. They soothe you with their sambas till you really know you're down in old Brazil. You can tell you're down in old Brazil. Down in Brazil, they never heard of win or lose. If you can't feel, then all those cafe au lait girls in high heel shoes will really cure your blues. Seems they all just aim to please. Those women sway like wind in the banana trees. Then you know you're down in old Brazil.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that, of course, is Michael Franks, 1977 on Warner Brothers. Sleeping Gypsy is the album, and it was an interesting album. The Lady Wants to Know is on that, but also Buona Hino Home is on that, which one of the few times that I have thought that the Carpenters bested an original. And Michael Franks, of course, wrote it, but I thought Karen Carpenter did a swell job on her version, Buona Hino Home. So maybe we'll play that too. I don't know. Yeah, she very underrated, and of course, most of the stuff she was forced to sing wouldn't necessarily have been her first choice. But I think she liked that. So Eduardo in Tampa, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, Raleigh, thank you for that request.
Sure.
That's very nice.
My pleasure. Good song.
Yeah. Hey, I was going to tell you, when you were driving, you didn't see any case of ballast fall over like that that box in Miami that fell off. That driver got fired.
Well, I would hope he did. No, the one that really really flummoxed me, though, they're talking about like a fire in the ballot boxes in Oregon. I'm saying, well, how do you recover that? You don't.
No. Well, at least this one, yeah, the one in Oregon, obviously, I don't know how that went. But,
right, that's over. But yes, Miami, fire, but sure, they can find the ballot box and use it. Right, exactly. It's not.
Yeah, it was still sealed up. Yeah, the guy turned it in. I mean, it was still sealed in, so it should be fine. But yeah, that was unfortunate that it fell off the truck. Apparently, he didn't lock the back correctly.
Well, and I would think that was absolutely not political, just one of those things that happens. But I'm sure there are people who have already
accident,
right,
yeah.
People who have already turned it into a conspiracy, don't you know?
Yeah. Okay, I know you're getting close to the end of the show here. I was going to say, so I saw this on Daily Mail. So if it's appropriate to respond to a unknown number, if you get a text, and you shouldn't because they'll,
I would
you
never
know,
do
trying
that,
to con you into getting money
right,
and
right. No, I absolutely. I think that when
I
it
delete
comes,
it right away.
Right,
that's
when
what
it,
I do.
When it comes to mobile phones, I don't think you can be too careful, and I don't care if it's voice or it's text. If you don't recognize the number, you don't reply, and if it's an incoming call, you let it go to voicemail. If it's somebody who really needs you, it'll get to voicemail and you can hear it. But when not only scammers, but just telemarketers, they really want to ascertain whether or not it's a live number and someone's there. So you never, ever, ever want to actually answer it because then, the flood of calls begins. So, yeah, if you don't recognize the number. Now, along those lines, there's something else that's really important. Even when you do recognize the number, and this happened to a gal recently, unfortunately, a Wells Fargo customer, and she, we're talking about Zelle before, but this is considerably worse. She got a phone call, and the caller ID showed it was the number from her Wells Fargo branch. I mean, it looked perfectly, and they explained that there was a problem. Well, the bottom line, you know where this is going. It turned out to be a total scam, and they got all our money. You get a call from a bank for any reason, and it happens to be a bank where you have money, you just say thank you, you hang up, and you originate the call directly from a number you find independently. Because you can never be too too safe on this. If someone's calling you or texting you, or you get an email and sure enough, it's your bank and it's saying your statement is due, click here. No, just look at that and say, okay, I'll go to the website myself, because the scams are getting really good and they're really hard to spot. So, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I got a letter yesterday, and I called the number and spoke to a rep, and this is regarding my old company pension plan.
Mm-hmm.
So, when I talked to a live rep, I wrote down her name. They're going to be sending out some forms out. So, at least I talked to a live person. This didn't come over like a text.
Well, and in that case, you didn't give that live person personal information other than your address of where to send the form. So, that's exactly right. Yeah.
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 Yeah. So, well, this is good heads up to know.
Absolutely. And I, you know, as far as not answering numbers you don't know, caller IDs are so easy to spoof, even with numbers you do know. If it's something you're not regularly dealing with, just don't continue. Call back yourself. With banks, and unfortunately, so many people using online banks and things like that, they don't have a personal banker, so to speak, someone they know. You know, and if you can, that's always your best bet. You know, if you're usually talking to, you know, Alice at Western States, then you know if Alice from Western State call, you know her. But unfortunately, when you're at whatever it is, Capital One Online, you don't know anybody there. So, yeah, hang up and originate the call yourself.
Yeah, definitely.
All
okay,
right, now
Riley,
what's going on? What's going on with job search real quickly?
Well, I'm working right now the election.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So does that, are they paying you for that?
I'm still working the Publix. I'm working the Publix some days.
Okay.
But I'm working the election right now too.
Hmm.
And I'm still in touch with the hospital.
All right.
So.
Well, keep up. Just keep at it.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, keep me posted and thanks for calling.
It's going to happen.
Yes, absolutely. All right. All right. Thanks.
All right. I'll listen tomorrow. Right. Maybe call in.
I hope
Thank you.
All right. So 888-876-5593-8888-RALEIGH. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. And remember, tomorrow, the polls are open for the world's worst hit records. And we'll do that until the day before Thanksgiving, at which point we will tabulate all your votes and come up with the top 10 for 2024 on WGN Radio.
You people can watch while I'm scrubbing these floors, and I'm scrubbing the floors while you're gawking. Maybe once you tip me and it makes you feel swell in this crummy southern town and this crummy old hotel, but you'll never guess to who you're talking. No, you could never guess to who you're talking. Then one night there's a scream in the night, and you wonder who could that have been. And you see me kind of grinning while I'm scrubbing, and you say, what she got to grin? I'll tell you, there's a ship, the Black Freighter, with a skull on its masthead, will be coming in. You gentlemen can say, hey gal, finish them floors, get upstairs, what's wrong with you, earn your keep here. You toss me your tips and look out to the ships, but I'm counting your heads as I'm making the beds, 'cause there's nobody gonna sleep here tonight. Nobody's gonna sleep here, honey. Nobody. Nobody. Then one night, there's a scream in the night, and you say, who's that kicking up a row? And you see me kinda staring out the window, and you say, what she got to stare at now? I'll tell you, there's a ship, the Black Freighter,
shooting guns from her bow. Now, you
WGN Radio. Yeah, I could go on. And that's Nina Simone doing Pirate Jenny. Yeah, 1964. That was a concert in New York and recorded on Philips. And it was her first album for Philips, actually, Nina Simone in concert. And it was just terrific, I thought. And that was a request, believe it or not. And that was from Isaac on the South Side. And Pirate Jenny's an interesting story, actually. It's a song from Three Penny Opera. And Mark Blitzstein did the English lyrics. And it's probably the best known thing from Three Penny other than Mac the Knife. And there's, basically low-life Jenny, a maid in a crummy old hotel, imagining herself, avenging herself for the contempt that she endures from all the townspeople. And then there's a pirate ship that comes, enters the harbor, and fires on the city, and flattens every building except the hotel, of course. And the pirates come ashore, and they chain up all the townspeople, and they present them to Jenny, who orders the pirates to kill them. Yes, that's right. A soothing, tasteful dinner hour selection. And so that's the deal on there. But it's quite long as far as that goes. But and she did it many times. But that 64 version from, I think it was Madison Square Garden, actually, I'm not sure. But 64 on Phillips was just terrific. All right, so enough of that. And I hope Isaac enjoyed it. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. All right, so everybody's been talking about these E. coli outbreaks. And, of course, the McDonald's with 75 people sickened. And I think there have been 4 deaths so far or something. Or maybe it's only one. I'm not 100% sure of that. But regardless, you got a lot of people, including federal agencies and stuff like that, food safety experts, and they're like are basically telling you how to avoid coming in contact with the E. coli. And I realize that I'm in deep trouble. The bottom line, you buy anything packaged. If it's pre-washed, don't believe it for a minute. Cantaloupe, particularly bad. Not even pre-washed, obviously. You don't pre-wash a cantaloupe. But they do say that the cut-up cantaloupe can be especially risky, pre-cut or pre-washed produce of any sort. And so 4 professors said they routinely avoid certain raw fruits such as cantaloupe and vegetables such as sprouts or bagged salad greens and cantaloupe. Bagged salad greens, of course I like that. That's the easiest way. Well, what they're saying is wash them again. Yeah. Well, then what's the purpose? Right? Just buy them fresh. Well, even that, they'll tell you if you're buying, say, lettuce fresh and you see a leaf that's broken, remove it, throw it out, because that's a place that pathogens can, in fact, hide. But you look at the sheer number of outbreaks and recalls over the last 15 years, and when it comes to E. coli, more often tied to produce than absolutely anything else. And so, yes, there have been E. coli incidents, obviously, in meat. And that horrible Jack-in-the-Box hamburger thing that happened in the early 90s, and I think there were 4 killed in that. That's probably what I was thinking of. Caused some changes in federal regulation and that. And at this point, you're probably less likely to meet it in a situation where you're dealing with meat or pork or anything like that, then with good old produce, particularly that bagged lettuce. Oh, that breaks my heart because that's so easy. You know, buy the bag, just take the lettuce out, put it in. But yeah, well, and again, any leaf torn or damaged, throw it away. So now you know. And thoroughly wash the lettuce, no matter how often they say it's pre-washed. And what they're saying is, not only wash them, you know, don't just put them in a strainer and rinse it off. One of the experts said, bacteria are sticky. Friction is what gets them off. Use a clean paper towel to dry it. Yes, you're going to finesse your lettuce while you're at it. I know. You'll never eat anything by the time it's over, but nonetheless. Sprouts, however, are pretty much a bad idea. The seeds are exposed to warm temperatures as they sprout, and they release nutrients into the water that allow bacteria to grow, and there it is. Now, cut melon, common breeding ground. And, of course, you know, you get that thing if they're, like, set out in any type of a situation, like there was a buffet or something. Obviously, that's a problem. But not only is what they're saying. And with E. coli, they consider it to be a unique pathogen because there's a very low infectious dose, meaning that doesn't have to be much on it to get to you. So you can a few cells can make you sick. And so that's kind of frightening, because that's things that you'll never see. And so obviously you're supposed to steer clear of the rare undercooked meat. I won't do that. I like my stuff rare. Poultry, fish, and eggs. Don't drink unpasteurized anything like milk and stuff like that. But the big thing, again, is absolutely, when it comes to produce, be more careful than you probably have been. Because, again, most people don't think of that as the congregation site. And more often than not, it is. All right, so I don't think we've gotten to the bottom of what really happened at McDonald's yet, but, you know, thank God that it's in the news big time when it's 75 people, because when you consider how many millions of people are being served, that's actually a low count, and the count should be no, obviously, but that's the deal. So wash your lettuce. Yeah, I don't want to wash my lettuce, but I will. 888-876-5593. Chuck in Rockford is back on WGN Radio.
Hello.
What's up?
Oh, I guess I'm getting older. You know, I tuned in on your program early, and then I guess I fell asleep or something or other, and then, oh, God, I'm right up to the last minute now. I can tell that.
Well, you got 5 minutes here, and they're all yours.
Oh, I came across a smartphone that's new on the market.
Yeah,
it's the name is Blue or something like that.
Yeah,
that's in it, and it has some things in there for blind and visually impaired people.
Okay, yeah, Blue. It's BLU, and that's an American company, actually. Nice to know. They're Android-based, so you're going to have to give up your iPhone and iOS ways if that's the case. But
They had a pretty good deal on that, and I bought one of them, and I think I'm going to go ahead and hook it up because it seems to have a lot of other things in there that are a little easier to work with. I'm just getting used to working with the, I don't know if I'm getting used to it or not, but I'm working with a smartphone, and it's getting the best of me.
Oh, man. Well, I think the first decision is, you know, how comfortable are you with Android versus iOS? And, of course, you know, Android as an operating system, you are basically dealing with Google. And so keep that in mind. But that's I'm not going to tell you not to do that by any means. So if the operating system is okay for you, then you look at the phone and see how they're doing the features. And one thing about Blue is that they have, you know, they've been around now a while. I guess not 2009. So that's, you know, a good 15 years. And they've sold over 60 million devices, which is great. But one of the things that you come up with is that the entire My Blue range is no longer being manufactured. So, you know, then the case comes, well, really? Then what about apps, you know, and all that? So you just want to make sure it's something that'll last for a while.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been kind of scared of those apps because I guess if you get them into your phone and think they're great, why, that phone can be running all the time, you know, and...
Well, no. Now, you see, that's the nice thing. Almost all of the apps allow you to, if you go into your settings, allow you to specify how you want them used. You do not have to have things running in the background if you don't want things running in the background.
Oh, yeah.
But you've got to do that. And that's true, of course, for desktops and laptops and all of that. Same deal. You've basically got to tell it, no, you're not running in the background. No, you're not starting on startup and all those kind of things. So you really kind of have to get to know your phone well enough to know how to opt out of that crap.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yes.
I guess I'm getting too old to get into an IT class, but
aren't we all? But the phones, for the most part, you know, and you can probably go online and figure out exactly how, are really good at telling you how the CPU usage is going, what is active, what isn't active. You can see what's on there, and then you can decide, I'm going to this act, and I'm not going to let it turn on unless I turn it on.
Yeah, That's where I have to kind of learn that what I'm saying yes or no to.
Yeah, absolutely. But sure. And, you know, less is more. So unless it's something you absolutely need, I wouldn't put it on the phone.
Well, how large of an audience do you have, or have you ever been able
to
determine
that? Who the heck
knows?
Well, you're listening. That's one. I think we had about 10 calls tonight. That's 10. No, I have I have no way to measure it. And I don't try. As far as I'm concerned right now, I'm only talking to one person, and that's you. And in 30 seconds, you are going to have ended the show.
I was wondering also, do you get anything from Western Illinois? I haven't heard many callers from there.
No.
You know, like,
I know exactly. I think part of that's the phase zone. Call me back tomorrow night. We can talk more about that.
Okay, take
All right,
care.
Thanks. Appreciate it. All right, sleep Bye. Well. All right, now, with that in mind, we thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. So tomorrow is the night. We open the polls for the world's worst hit records on WGN Radio.